Thank you, Robert. Appreciate your words of encouragement today. And we are certainly believing in this season that God will provide everything we need to carry out His mission for our church. I firmly believe that. He has already been taking care of us, and I know He will continue to do that. Well, as we transition now into our message this morning, we're going to be in the 16th chapter of the book of Exodus. So if you have a Bible or smartphone with it on there, a Bible app, turn over to Exodus 16, and I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 4, and then pick up with verse 9 through 15. So the whole congregation of the Israelites set out from Elim, and Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai. On the 15th day of the second month after they had departed from the land of Egypt, the whole congregation of the Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and ate our fill of bread. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I am going to rain bread from heaven for you. And each day the people shall go out and gather enough for that day. In that way I will test them whether they will follow my instructions or not." Verse 9. Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the Israelites, 'Draw near to the Lord, for he has heard your complaining.'" And as Aaron spoke, the whole congregation of the Israelites, they looked toward the wilderness, and the glory of the Lord appeared in a cloud. And the Lord spoke to Moses and said, "I have heard the complaining of the Israelites. Say to them, 'At twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall have your fill of bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God.' In the evening, quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. And when the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a fine, flaky substance, as fine as frost on the ground. When the Israelites saw it, they said to one another, 'What is it?' For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, 'It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat.'" This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen. So in the 16th chapter, we come to kind of a transition time in the book of Exodus. Actually, it kind of picks up at the end of chapter 15 into the 16th chapter. So what we see happening here is the Israelites, they have just come out of slavery in Egypt. We talked about the Red Sea crossing last week, and the Israelites have experienced the miraculous power of God working to lead them forward. And we know that God has promised, all the way back with their ancestor Abraham, that God would bring the Israelites out into a land that would be their own, a land flowing with milk and honey, the land we call the Promised Land, because of the promise that was given to Abraham and all of the Israelite people. And so God has delivered them from slavery. He's brought them to freedom. And we would think, okay, just on the other side of the Red Sea, what do we expect to find? The Promised Land, right? Now, it all gets messed up in our minds because we know the story. We know that they ultimately don't go directly from Egypt back to the Promised Land, but rather they spend 40 years just kind of wandering around the wilderness. But if we were just following the story for the first time, we might think that that is where it's going to lead us. But it doesn't. At the end of chapter 15, in verse 22, it says, "Then Moses made Israel set out from the Red Sea, and they went into the wilderness." And so we get to thinking, you know, are they lost? Did they take a wrong turn? Why aren't they getting back to the Promised Land? Why isn't it happening like now? And what we realize is that they're not lost. They haven't made a wrong turn, but it is God who is actually leading these people. We're told in the story that in the daytime, there was a cloud that would appear kind of over the encampment where the Israelites were. And sometimes the cloud would move, and when it moved, they moved. And then at night, from that cloud, there would be lightning and fire emanating. And the same thing, if it moved, they moved. And so the story is clear that God is doing the leading here. And they are not lost. They are right where they are supposed to be. And so right after Moses leads them out into the wilderness, the first thing they come to is a place called Marah. And at Marah, there's a water source there, but it's not good to drink. It's bitter water. And so what God does is He performs a miracle, and the water is sweetened and becomes drinkable water. It's sort of like you turn your tap on here in Clinton, you get some water and you taste it. It's like, I don't know about that water. But you put a pure filter on that water, and it is sweet water. We have one of those pure things that we keep in the refrigerator, and we have to always pour the water in it, you know. But that's the only way I can really drink it, because I don't know. It has a taste about it. And here we find that God, He purifies this water and makes it drinkable. He sweetens the water. And so the Israelites, they leave this place called Marah, and then they are taken to another place called Elim. And at Elim, we're told that it is a place with 12 springs of water and 70 palm trees. I mean, this is a desert oasis. It is like a resort in the desert. And there they camp out for a while, and things are going really, really good. But after a time, Moses, he says, it's time to go. God is wanting us to move on from here, and we're going to go even deeper into the wilderness. We're going to go further into the desert, because God wants to take us from this place called Elim to a place called Sinai. And Sinai, there's a mountain there, and God wants to meet with us. And so Moses starts to lead the people from Elim to Sinai. And we wonder, why is God doing this? Why is He not taking them directly to the promised land? Because when you start to map out these places, they're not in a straight line. I mean, God is kind of leading them around and around in a circle. And this will go on for 40 years. Now, from what we gather from the story, this journey should have only taken about a year. But because of the ongoing disobedience of the Israelite people, they just keep doing laps in the wilderness for this time period. But there's also a purpose to this. I mean, God is shaping His people. And we're told in the 8th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy is like this farewell speech that Moses gives the Israelites right before they go into the land of Canaan. And in the 8th chapter, Moses is reflecting back on this wilderness experience. And he says, God brought us here to accomplish three things. He says, one, if you look at Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2, you see the three things there. The first thing that God does is He is humbling His people. The second thing is the desert was meant to be a place where they're tested, to see what was in their hearts. And then the third thing was, it prepares them for obedience. So though that's the reason. That's why the wilderness experience is happening. That's the education that the people need to go through. They need to learn who God is. They need to understand God's ways and how to trust in God and walk in obedience to Him. And so God is testing them so that they can grow in these things. And y'all, when we think about desert experiences, you know, we go through desert experiences. We face hardships and trials and adversities in our life. And if we think about it, those experiences result in the same three things in our life. They can humble us. They test us. They test our faith. They test our strength and our courage and our faithfulness to God. And then those things also lead us to greater and greater obedience of God. So we know what it's like to maybe not go through geographical deserts, but spiritual deserts. And so there is some parallel here between what Israel is going through and our own life. And God uses five desert tests in the book of Exodus. We're only going to deal with this one, but there are five of them here between chapters 15 and 18. You can read about them this week. But God uses these desert tests of the Israelites to teach us lessons about our own faith journey. And so, when we look at this story, we ask ourselves, how in the world did they get here? And I want you to think about it in terms of what is going on with these people in this story. So the first thing that we learn here in verse 2, it says the whole congregation of the Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. So what we have here going on is a case of the grumpies. They are grumbling. They are complaining. They are belly aching. They might have what we call a case of the hangries. You know, after the early service, somebody came up to me and they said, "Here, Jimmy, you might want to eat this. It's a Snickers bar." Y'all remember the Snickers commercials that came out a while back about these folks that get hangry? And they said, "Give them a Snickers. That'll satisfy them." It satisfies, right? That's the tagline. It satisfies. Well, the Israelites, you know, they have just experienced some amazing things that God does. I mean, they've experienced all these miracles. They're seeing in this cloud and fire, you know, in the desert, the presence of God emanating, smiling upon them and leading them. And they have just experienced God turn bitter water into sweet water. And now they get to this point where they start to get hungry. Their bellies are starting to growl, and they start immediately complaining. They grumble, and they want to form a get back to Egypt committee. Tell us how we can get back. Because at least we had food there. At least we had graves there. You know, the life had some semblance of normalcy, but not here in this place. And they start to panic. What are we going to do? How in the world are we going to get food in this place? And y'all, we find ourselves asking the same thing. When life gets tough, we tend to want to panic. We want to worry. We panic because we forget three things about God. The first thing that we forget is that a desert doesn't always mean we made a wrong turn. You know, when we find ourselves going through adversity or trial, it doesn't mean that we've done anything wrong. At least not always. Sometimes we do make mistakes and we get ourselves in a mess. But sometimes we're just rocking through life and something hits us. How about that for a clap, Tom? That's a pretty good one. But that's the way life is. It just hits us. And I could share with you story after story where just in a moment life changes. Think about the Goolsbee family. I mean, we certainly know that situation from a couple of weeks ago now. By the way, John's still in the hospital. He's making slow progress, but he's where he's supposed to be right now and coming back from his illness. But here is, you know, someone that's just going about their day. and they have a traumatic medical emergency. So a desert experience, a health scare or crisis, or a relational crisis, a financial crisis, or whatever kind of crisis we go through, doesn't mean we made a wrong turn. But we tend to wonder, though, man, am I doing something wrong? Did I cause this in some way? Surely this isn't where God wants me to be. I mean, isn't God about blessing my life, making my life better and more prosperous and healthier and all of that sort of thing? Then why this? Why now? We start to try to figure out how to fix it, to change it, or we want to run from it, or even run from God sometimes. But the desert is often necessary to get us where God wants us to be. Now, I'm not suggesting that God brings things into our life, but certainly God can use adversities to test and strengthen and change us. Because I know that He does that. I've seen God do that. I've experienced that in my own life. It could be that this trial that you're going through is going to result in bringing about something better in your life. That there is a lesson that hopefully we can learn from it. You know, when we think about life, it is full of adversity that pushes us toward a better goal. For instance, someone that wants to go into the Marine Corps, they go off to boot camp and they go through, you know, I think what they call Hell Week and all that kind of stuff. It is all meant to test and strengthen them so that they will have courage in the face of fire. They will know what to do. So you can't be a Marine without going through boot camp, though. You know, if you want, ladies, if you want to have a baby, then you got to go through a pregnancy. You know, our niece had a baby this past week. They're doing really well, and it's always good to see someone give birth and bring, you know, this new life into the world, and to be able to watch them grow and develop. But in order to get to that place, you got to go through some hard times sometimes, quite often. If you want to be a doctor, if you want to esteem to a professional level in a career, then you got to spend the time. Then you got to do the work to get the education. So you go through all of these things that bring suffering into our lives for short seasons now, but help us to learn lessons that prepare us for the future. So you may be going through something hard right now. You may be in a desert, but I want to encourage you, don't panic and don't run, but walk in obedience. Walk in obedience, because obedience is what's going to get you out of that desert experience. This is true whether we made a wrong turn in life or not. The same thing is true. Obedience is what's going to lead you out. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Do not lean to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge God, and He will make your paths straight." Acknowledge God. Acknowledge God's ways. Be obedient to God. Trust in God, and He will lead you out. So, the desert doesn't always mean that we made a wrong turn, but in order to get out, you got to walk in obedience. All right, number two. The second thing we tend to panic over and forget is this. To build up your faith, you need to count your blessings. Record your blessings. You know, there are two problems that are created by desert experiences. One is called myopia, and the other is amnesia. Now, myopia means that you're only fixated on the thing that's right in front of you. It means that you get tunnel vision. And sometimes in life when we are facing a problem, we get so fixated on that problem that we can't see anything else around us. We see nothing else. And amnesia is when we forget what happened in the past because we're afraid of what might happen in the future. Amnesia. And we bring both of these problems into our faith journeys, so to speak. And the same solution applies to both problems. Whether you're experiencing myopia, you're just fixated on worrying and stressing and anxiousness around this situation, or whether you forgot the past and what God has done and how you've brought, you know, come through hardships, and you worry about the future, the same solution applies. Focus on God's blessings in the here and the now. And y'all, it sounds so simple, but how often do we fail that test? When you start to complain and think about how your life is so miserable, I just want to encourage you to look around. Look at the blessings that God has put in your life. Think about the ways that God has been present, undergirding your journey up to the point where you are now. Don't get tunnel vision. Don't get, you know, away from the evidence that God has put in your life over and over and over again to remind you that, hey, I'm with you. I'm walking with you through this. You know, Israel, they fall into this trap a little bit. You know, they've experienced all of these miraculous things and these blessings, and God is certainly evidencing His goodness over them and showing that He is dependable, that He's a provider, that He is faithful always, like we sang about a minute ago. But yet, they forget. They get out of faith and instead get into fear. And even in the midst of this, here's what I find to be scandalous in this story, is that even while they are complaining against God, what does God do? Well, Moses, let's just take them out. Let's just wipe them out. At least not yet. This is not what God says. But listen to what God says in verses 11 and 12. And the Lord said to Moses, I have heard the grumbling of the people of Israel. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God. You see, God just keeps blessing them. He keeps showing them who He is. And I believe that if we will just keep walking in obedience, that God will show His provision to us as well. The thing is, are you paying attention? Will you see it when it happens? The third thing, last thing that I want to mention this morning of how we can get through these desert experiences is to remember this, that God's grace is just enough and it's just in time. God gives the grace we need when we need it. And every step of Israel's journey, they are being shown that God is good, God is gracious, and He can be relied upon. God hears their grumblings and says to them, behold, I'm going to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out, and they will gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my commandments or not. And so every morning, the Israelites would get up and they would find this white flaky stuff all over the ground. And they would gather it up and they would wonder, what is it? And someone would say, yeah. Yeah, that's right. And they'd say, well, what is this stuff? Yep. Manna. It's manna. You see, that's what manna means in Hebrew. It means, what is this? What is it? And God provides the manna, and He provides what is needed to get them through the day ahead of them, and nothing more. You see, at this stage of their journey, this is what God's trying to show them. My grace is sufficient for you to get you through what's right in front. Don't worry about tomorrow. I am your provider today. You see, the Lord was teaching them to trust in His grace and His provision and His care. Will they learn the lesson? You see, trust in God comes one day at a time. And this is the lesson that Israel is being taught, is will they trust God for their daily provision? Will I trust God to get me through whatever is right in front of me today? And the Lord is trying to teach them that yes, they can. You see, when we are in the panic zone and we are so focused on the what ifs in life. What if this happens? Or what if this doesn't work out? What if? You see, we can play every doomsday circumstance over and over in our mind. And those fears can get us out of faith right now. And right now is really what matters the most. You see, Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow, for today's cares are sufficient. Don't worry over the what ifs of tomorrow. Stay focused on today. And y'all, we need to hear that. You know, one of the things that I'm always amazed at is dying grace. Now, what am I talking about? You know, I'm talking about when people are nearing the end of their life, there is a presence of God in those moments. There is a peace of God that covers. There is a grace of God that helps us to make that ultimate journey from this life to the next life. And you know, right now, if we think about death, it can cause some anxiety. And when we see someone who's going through their own death and experiencing that, we wonder how in the world are they able to make that journey. You see, what we don't understand that they do is that God's grace comes just enough, just in time, just when we need it. And that's what we need to be reminded of, is that when we face a financial crisis, then there's going to be financial crisis faith, grace that gets us through. When there's a relationship breaking down and falling apart in our lives, we need to know that in that moment, God can give us the grace to find the way through that. And we just need to be reminded of that today, that God's grace meets us right where we are. It can sustain us. It can strengthen us. When we see somebody who's going through a very traumatic illness in their life, maybe it's cancer, maybe it's some other, you know, debilitating disease that will be terminal in their life at some point. And we see those people going through. Maybe you've experienced that. And what you know, or what you hope to know if you go through something like that, is that God is present in a way that you don't yet know. And so the question becomes, how deep does your trust go in God? That if something like that happens in your life, God's going to go with you through it. And so that's the challenge for us today. And so Jesus teaches us every day to pray this way. Give us this day our daily bread. God, today give me what I need to get through whatever is in front of me right now. And every morning the Israelites experienced God's provision. The manna was on the doorsteps. And somehow God provided what was needed to get through what was right then and what was right there. And y'all, the same is true for us. There will be a post-election grace. I believe that. And I believe if we will remember these things that I have just shared with you today, that God will lead us. He will lead us on, no matter what comes our way. Amen. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you are always God. That you are our Creator. That you have established the foundations of this world. And when they are shaking, when the ground beneath our feet feels uncertain, that we can keep our faith anchored in you, knowing that you will sustain us. And when we go through the desert, God, we know we can experience your provision. And Lord, I just pray that over everyone here today, that they would realize that you are with them. If they will turn to you, Lord, if we will seek you, if we will seek you in the midst of these wilderness places, you will be found. And your grace can sustain us and uphold us. So God, we give thanks today for what you do to strengthen us, to lead us through the trials, and help us to grow deeper in our trust of you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your presence. Lord, we just welcome your provision in our lives. We need it, Lord. We need you, Jesus. We pray in your holy name, Lord. Amen.